If you've got a copy of the Word of God, Matthew chapter number 10 is our launching pad as we've been looking at these men of God, these men that have been called out to be separated from all others to be the disciples, the apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those whom were unique in their gifts and in their capabilities to display the authenticity of Jesus as being the Messiah, the Son of the Most High God. And we've come here to one by the name of Matthew. But I want to read the text again and give us reference as to where we're at tonight. Matthew chapter 10, and then we'll be looking back over in Matthew chapter number 9. If you found your place, let's stand tonight in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, whom Jesus is. Whom Jesus is. And we find through the text that we're going to look at tonight a lot of things that He is not. Amen. But most importantly, whom Jesus is. The Bible says there in Matthew 10, and when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican. And you may be seated tonight. What a privilege it is to be able to look at these apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, these who have been separated out, been called out, been set apart to do a special task unto a specific people at a certain time. And that's somewhat similar as to whom you and I are. You know, only you and I were chosen to be alive at this time in this history, in the time of history, in the course of history. And my friend, God has given us a specific task unto a specific people for a specific purpose, ultimately to allow them to come to a saving knowledge of whom Jesus is, and to furthermore build upon that knowledge and build upon that foundation of salvation, that they might be able to know truly whom Jesus really is. I'm thankful for these men. Thankful for a man by the name of Matthew. Now, not much is mentioned about Matthew in the Synoptic Gospels other than the account that we're going to look at over in chapter 9, beginning in verse number 9 tonight in the book of Matthew. But we find that Matthew was one that was not very outspoken, for he does not say hardly any words at all, if any. He's not one that's boisterous. He's not one that's in the forefront and has to be seen by everybody. He did not have the character as some of the other disciples and the apostles of the Lord Jesus had. But my friend, whenever God spoke unto Matthew, what did he do? He picked up his pen and he began to write. And we have 28 chapters in the first, right in the beginning of the New Testament, recorded by this apostle of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the name of Matthew. We find that he breaks down the life of Christ to allow him to be made known to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We find that his heritage was most certainly of Hebrew descent, for he is referred to as Levi in the book of Luke and also in the book of Mark. And we find here in the book of Matthew, he refers unto himself as Matthew, which literally means the gift of the Lord. I'm thankful that we have some that have been chosen to be gifts of God, aren't you? Gifts of the Most High, that they might bring glory unto Him, that they might edify the church. And we find that Matthew was certainly one of those. But as we think about the text tonight, we had the privilege to look at it a few weeks ago in the book of Mark, and I thought about just skipping over Matthew, but I believe that'd be a disjustice unto the Scripture. And I believe that as we draw the truths out of chapter 9 of the book of Matthew tonight, we'll see exactly whom Jesus really is. I believe, first of all, He's a Savior without dilemma. He's a Savior without dilemma. Boy, I'm glad that His agenda ain't the agenda of man. Amen. I'll tell you what, man will find every excuse they can possibly find to put off what needs to be done. Now, I know some of y'all are not very pessimistic, but I know some of us are. Amen. I'm of the type of mind that if I can't do it right, I don't want to do it at all. And therefore, I'll just put it off. I said, well, I ain't got time to do it now. I'll just put it off. And I'm bad for that. I'm bad for that with certain things, especially whenever it comes to things around the house. I'm not very handy around the house in some things. And you can ask Beth about that. I'll do what I can, but if I can't do it, I'll put it off. But I'm glad Jesus is not a Savior with dilemmas. Amen? Hey, the Bible tells us here in chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, "And as Jesus passed forth from hence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom." Now, we find that Matthew was a man that was not very popular amongst the Jews. Now, he was a Hebrew. He was of Jewish descent, but he wasn't very well liked. Why? Because he sat at the receipt of custom. But chapter number 10 tells us that he's a publican. He's a tax collector. And we know that they were one of the most despised individuals in all of Jerusalem. One of the most despised individuals across the land of Israel and across the land of Judea. We find that they were individuals that were looked at as not being no better than a murderer or a thief or someone that even had leprosy. Hey, they were categorized amongst them people as folks you just ought to stay away from. Folks you ought to just push to the side. Folks you ought not even to give courtesy to speak to and to say hello or how you're doing. And we find that he was one that was looked down upon by his fellow man. He was despised because most of the Jews felt like that because he was working for Rome that he had sold them out. And my friend, he may have they very well have. We don't know exactly where that he learned all of his Jewish history. It may have been from a time that he was reared up in a good, godly Jewish home, and he was taught the Scriptures from a very early age, because we find in the book of Matthew that he quotes the Old Testament more than any other of the synoptic writers or even John. And we find that he quotes from the law, and he quotes from the prophets, and he quotes from the books of history, and he had great knowledge of whom Jehovah God was. And we're not certain if he acquired that at a young age or after he come to know Jesus, he began to get in touch with his roots and began to get in touch with whom Jehovah truly was. But nevertheless, he knew of whom God was. And my friend, but he was in a place in which that he was despised and looked upon as being an outcast. And that's how they treated many of the publicans and the tax collectors in that day and time. We find that they were looked down upon because, hey, they were there taking the tax for Rome, and they had a certain amount that they had to acquire, and then they might just up the ante a little bit, and whatever they got extra, they'd stick in their pockets. So we find that they were pretty well off to do individuals, but we find they were very looked down upon amongst the Jews. But my friend, I'm glad that there was a man by the name of Jesus that saw him. I'm glad there's a man by the name of Jesus that sought him out. I'm glad there's a man by the name of Jesus that came looking for this man by the name of Levi, this man by the name of Matthew, this gift of the Lord. And my friend, I'm glad that he came looking for you and I. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us that he saw him, and he was sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, "Leave here." No, he didn't do that. He didn't come up to him, and he didn't say unto him, "Hey, there ain't no hope for you, buddy. Hey, you don't have no chance of being able to come to know a true holy God because of your past and because of where you work and because of whom you are." No, Jesus didn't say that. But Jesus simply come unto him and brought unto him the simple, true, direct, down to the point, let's get to the nitty gritty of the matter. And Jesus, without dilemma, come unto him and he said, "Follow me." That's exactly what Jesus is desiring. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to allow His footpath to be our footpath. He wants us to allow Him to be the leader of our home and the leader of our life. He wants to be the God of the United States of America. Amen. Hey, He wants to be the head of the church. But He wants you to follow Him. But I'm glad, as we looked there a few weeks ago, that in the true respect of what the Word is saying there, He's not saying, "Just stay behind me." He's not saying, "Go ahead of me." But He says, "I want you to draw nigh to my side. And I want you to walk with me every step of the way through the course of your life." I'm glad that Jesus is one that stick closer than a brother. I'm glad Jesus is one that'll never leave. He'll never forsake. He'll never forget. Hey, Jesus just looked unto Matthew, and without dilemma, without excuse, without adding anything to or taking anything away, He just said, "Follow me." He didn't say you got to keep this certain feast. He didn't say you got to count this amount of beads. He didn't say you got to adhere to this direct law. No, Jesus just looked at him and he said, "Follow me." What did that compass? What did that entail? It meant that he was to come to a place that he repented in his heart from his sin, that he turned away from the world, and he turned away from wickedness, and he turned away from the things that are common unto man, and he looked unto God by faith, trusting in Him, wholeheartedly, completely acknowledging that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that's all Jesus is asking of you and I. He's not asking of us to do cartwheels. He's not asking of us to pay a certain amount of tribute unto the church. No, Jesus just says, come as you are. Come just as you be and follow me. He's a Savior without dilemma tonight. And I appreciate whom Jesus truly is. Hey, His desire is for you and I just to follow Him. And the Bible says there that the Bible says, and He arose and followed Him. I'm glad that Matthew acted without delay, aren't you? Hey, we have a Savior without dilemma. Hey, I'm thankful that Matthew didn't delay. I'm glad that Matthew didn't sit there and allow his knuckles to get white as he held on to that receipt of custom. I'm glad that he didn't come up with some excuse that he needed to get rid of this sin, or he needed to get rid of this activity in his life, that he needed to clean himself up first. No, I'm glad that Matthew followed unto Jesus, and the Bible says that he arose and he followed Him. That's all God asks of you and I tonight. Hey, if you've never come to a place in your life in which you trusted in Jesus, Jesus is standing here today without any dilemmas, without any additives, without anything to bring up. Hey, I'm glad that He does not say that you got to take this alternative path or that alternative path. No, He just says, follow me. And He's a Savior without dilemma tonight. And I'm glad that Matthew just stood up and he followed in the footpath of Jesus. He nudged up close to his side and he listened to his words and he clung on to him and he observed him and he watched him as he prayed and he watched him as he done his work of ministry. He watched him glorify God the Father. He watched him do the work of an almighty God. And my friend, that's what Matthew desired to do himself. Hey, he's a Savior without delay. But praise God, He's not only a Savior without delay, but He's a Savior without discrimination. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad that our God is not a discriminating God. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in His house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. Hey, I'll tell you what, this was Matthew's house. Bible tells us over there in the book of Luke, chapter number 5 and verse number 28, it says, and He left all, rose up and followed Him. Bible says, and Levi made Him a great feast in his own house. Hey, I'll tell you what, he said, I'm going to take Jesus home with me. He said, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be red in the face. I'm not going to make no excuses for the decision that I've made to put my life in the hand of Jesus. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to lay. But I'm just going to take Him home with me. And the Bible says that He threw a great feast for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd say He brought out the fattened calf. Amen. I'd say that He brought all the best choice things from the vineyard. I'd say He brought all the best things that He could bring out of the garden. Hey, He didn't hold nothing back for Jesus. He said, I'm going to give Him all that I've got. And He had a great feast there. And He began to invite His friends. He began to invite His neighbors. He began to call upon others that were just like Him, that were in a state of separation from God because of what? Because of their sin and because of their selfishness and because of their self-centeredness and because of the situation of their life, that they were separated from a holy God because of the wickedness and the devices of their own heart. And He said, boy, I want somebody else to get in on what I'm getting in on. And hey, He said, I've got a Savior that's without dilemma, and I'm glad that Jesus shows up and He shows out and He says, I'm not only a Savior without dilemma, but I'm a Savior without discrimination. Praise God. He didn't call them sinners away. Amen. He didn't say, you're a tax collector, like some of the Pharisees would say. And they'd say, hey, we got to separate ourselves from you. He didn't say, hey, you're a leper. I don't want nothing to do with you. Hey, you're a thief. You're a robber. Hey, woman, you've committed adultery 6 or 7 times. I don't want nothing to do with you. No, Jesus stood there as a Savior without discrimination, and He allowed all them to come unto Him. For it says there, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came, and they sat down with Him and His disciples. Hey, they partook in a meal with Him. They sat down and feasted and enjoyed the things and the firmament of the earth, and they enjoyed those things together. And Jesus sat there with them. Hey, praise God, He wasn't afraid to reach out and touch them lepers. He wasn't afraid to sit there and to talk with somebody whose life was full of sin and their heart was full of wickedness. Hey, I tell you what, there's sometimes we get too good for ourselves, and there's some churches that get too good for themselves, and they won't reach out to somebody else because they might be of a different nationality. They might be of a different skin tone. Hey, they might have somebody that's not necessarily of the same like kind as they are, and they say, I'm not going to have nothing to do with that crowd. Hey, the Bible says there that Jesus sat down with all those that would come unto Him, publicans and sinners. I want you to know that today in the year 2010 at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning, it's still the most segregated time that we ever go through during the course of the week, because we find that the black folk, they still congregate and they worship together for the majority. The white folk, they still congregate and gather together and worship as a majority. Hey, you've got some churches in certain places in which the elite go. You've got some churches in some places in which the poor folk go. Hey, you've got some places in which that they do not allow themselves to mingle untogether. But boy, I'm glad that Jesus is a God without discrimination. And my friend, we ought to open our doors and welcome anybody from any nationality, any creed, any culture, and allow them to come in and worship with us. But no, we find that in the Bible says there's some of those scribes and Pharisees. Scribes and Pharisees. Bible says there in verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? You see, they wanted to separate themselves from that crowd, but no, Jesus sat right down at meat with them. Now, I want to draw a line here. I don't believe we ought to go to the bar and sit down and drink a belly full just so that we can say we're trying to get to know them. We're going to share Jesus with them after we get a snoot full. No, I don't believe that's the way it works. Amen. I don't believe you go down to the dope head's house and say, I'm going to shoot me a needle full and then I'm going to tell them about Jesus. No, you don't do that. Hey, I'll tell you what, God's called you to live a separated life. God's called you to live a holy life. God's called you to stand upon the principles of this Word and to allow your life to be a light unto a lost and dying world, that others can look to you and see Christ living in and through you. Hey, I'll tell you what, we're not to stoop down to their level, that we ought not separate ourselves so much that we're not willing to take the gospel unto them. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, that's one good thing about going to the jail that I enjoy, is you just step in yonder and amongst all the filth of the rudiments of the world. Just step right in yonder. And I don't care what they're there for. I don't care why they're there. All I'm there to do is just to be one that's a representative of the Savior without dilemma. A Savior without discrimination. And the Bible says there, hey, they're looking. They're saying, why heedeth your Master with publicans and sinners? Boy, I'm glad He came my way, ain't you? I'm glad He came to me without discrimination. We find whom Jesus is. He's a Savior without dilemma. He's a Savior without discrimination. Hey, a true Christian does not call anybody from hearing the gospel. Amen? Amen? Hey, if God lays it upon your heart, you carry it to them. God lays it upon your heart, you speak for them and say, thus saith the Lord. You stand up and you testify for whom Jesus is and what that He's done for you. Hey, don't call them away. We find also that He is a Savior without distraction. You know, a lot of times we get so easily beset and distraught and we get off focus and we lose our vision, but not Jesus. Amen. I'm glad that He stuck to His guns. I'm glad that He came and He did what God Almighty the Father asked Him to do. I'm glad that He allowed Himself to uphold the commitment in which He had made Himself to go and to make Himself a sacrifice for sin, who knew no sin. Amen. And I'm glad that He allowed Himself to come. He didn't get His mind all clogged up with the world. He didn't lose the vision in which God had given unto Him, that He was a Savior without distraction. The Bible says there in verse 12, "But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician." Hey, if you're all right and you're complete and you're well, there ain't no need in you going and seeing a doctor. Now, Beth used to work down yonder. Miss Lynn works down yonder. You know, you got what do you call them? Frequent flyers. Now, some, they're just there to see if they can get something, whether they're sick or not. Hey, the Bible says there that they that be whole need not a physician. Hey, if you're here tonight and you're saved by the glorious grace of God, aren't you glad you already met the great physician? Aren't you glad He's already come and made you whole and made you well? Hey, praise His holy name. He says, "But they that are sick..." Amen. Jesus had His band of men there with Him. Those disciples in whom that He had already called, those that had already committed themselves unto Him, He had them by their side. He didn't have to sit there and minister unto them. Hey, there wasn't no need for Him to sit there and hold their hand and work through their problem and work through their hardship and help them get over that hangnail and help them get over that bursitis. No, hey, He didn't have to do all those things. He said, "I'm going unto those that are sick." Hey, Jesus came to bring the gospel. Jesus came to bring salvation. Jesus came to make a way. And without distraction, He did not lose His focus. I believe there's so many pastors today that have lost their focus. I believe there's so many Christians today that have lost their focus. Hey, sometimes I find myself with a little fuzzy, blurred vision as to where that I'm at in life, but not Jesus. He was without distraction, and He served God Almighty. He said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Let me ask you, and pause right here just a minute, how well are you tonight? Are you one that is complete? Are you one that's whole? Are you one that's sound? Are you one that is fulfilled? Are you one that is satisfied? Are you one that's happy tonight? Or are you sick? Is there a disease on the inside of you that's bringing you down, that's destroying you? Hey, have you had your soul cleansed? Have you had your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you had the blood of Calvary applied to your heart? Has your sin debt been wiped away? Are you sick tonight? Or are you whole? Hey, if you're sick tonight and you have a disease called sin that's within your heart, bring it unto Jesus. He's a great physician. He'll help you overcome that hurdle in your life. He'll help you overcome that hardship in your life. Hey, I'm thankful. Hey, Jesus said, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth." He says, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Now, Jesus referred to the book of Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, which literally says that God said, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Now, I'll tell you what, you can bring all the offering, you can bring all the outward sacrifice that you want to bring unto Him, but the only thing that's going to help you through the course of life and to be able to live eternally forevermore is to have the mercy of a holy God brought forth unto you. What's mercy, preacher? It's God not giving you what you deserve. Hey, you deserve hell. You deserve a place of eternal separation from God because of your sin. But God gave mercy unto each one of us. And we ought to uplift our hands and glorify His name and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy." Because you don't know what was on the hill of mercy? It was grace, amen. What was on the hill of grace? It was peace. What was right behind peace? It was harmony unto your soul and happiness unto your life. Hey, I'm glad for mercy, amen. It's just a foretaste of what's to come. Hey, the Bible said there that Jesus said, "I'll have mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Hey, Jesus never lost His focus. He was never a person that was with distraction, but He was without distraction. He's a Savior that's here tonight, that's standing here with open arms, reaching out unto those that might be sick. Let me ask you, how well are you tonight? Do you know that you know that you know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You say, "Yeah, preacher, I know." Well, you might be like old Brother Andy says sometimes, you don't need no luo. Do you need a nip toe? Need a little washing. Need a little cleansing. I began to think about that as I was reading this, studying this text out. I began to think about things that just seem so vain. seems so vain. You know, you go out and you begin to clean the house. And Beth does a good job of cleaning the house. She'll clean the house. She'll clean the house. About 2 or 3 days later, she'll say, "It don't even look like I've cleaned this house. Don't even look like I've cleaned this house." Hey, you know, sometimes we do things and I can mow the grass and you can get every leaf picked up and everything looks perfect and spotless and clean. But you give it a few days. You give it a week or so and that grass is going to grow. Those leaves are going to begin to dwell back up. Hey, it's the same way with our soul. Amen. It's the same way with our life. We need to sometimes get a cleansing. Need to sometime acknowledge that there might be just a little bit. It might not be eternal sickness. Hey, we've been saved and set aside and separated and sealed with the Holy Ghost. Got our name written up. We're on our way to heaven. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, sometimes we've got to get our sickness cleaned up. That stuff that just seems to muddle up our life. Hey, Jesus was a Savior without dilemma. He was a Savior without discrimination. He was a Savior without distraction. Let me ask you, He's waiting here with open arms tonight to minister unto you. But you've got to allow Himself to minister unto you. The only thing that's going to help us tonight is mercy. The only thing that's going to help us is grace. Hey, you can put all you want to put in that collection plate and it ain't going to make a bit of difference in the eyes of God. He's wanting to know about your soul tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.